From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. You remember Super Cookies, right?
Oh, that looked delicious!
Like cookies, they track the user's behavior as the user interacts with the web. They're controversial because they're hard to detect and to erase from your computer, phone, etc. And this week, the Federal Communications Commission has reached a settlement with Verizon over super cookies America's largest wireless carrier has been using on its users. The fine, a measly $1.35 million. The enforcement, Verizon will need to get permission from users to use super cookies going forward, and it could have an impact on the pattern of government regulation. So we called up Eric Goldman, law professor at Santa Clara University. Eric, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Why is the settlement so little here? $1.3 million? That seems like a drop in the bucket.
I don't have a great answer for you about that, but let me, ask the question with a question. Also, how did Verizon finagle the FCC's agreement to permit it to basically do what it was already doing?
So you would characterize this settlement as not really having many teeth.
The settlement is pretty good from the government's perspective, given that the FCC had to do some finagling in order to even establish that they had the authority to enforce this matter. So given that there might be some questions on the FCC's role here, perhaps they did a pretty good job.
So why is the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, taking this up instead of the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, which I know has been thinking about user privacy as well?
That's a great question. The FTC and FCC are locked in a little bit of a turf war right now over who's going to be the privacy cop in the online environment. At the moment, one possibility is that privacy advocates might be cheered that now there's two cops on the beat where maybe there would only be one. Another possibility is that things might fall between the cracks or get stonewalled because the FTC and FCC can't agree on who's the best entity to enforce it.
What, if anything, should the regular user take away from this?
If you're a Verizon user, you should take a careful look at your privacy settings. It is possible that Verizon is still using super cookies in a way that you might object to, and you should go and reconfigure your settings accordingly.
Eric Goldman is law professor at Santa Clara University. Eric, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Gary Vaynerchuk is a social media mogul, an internet marketing guru, and a guy who built a marketing empire from selling wine online from New Jersey. He's also been called the Twitter twerp, annoying but right, and a seller of entrepreneurial snake oil. The proof might be in the pudding with a new book, the title of which, yes, actually does start with a hashtag. Hashtag Ask Gary V, One Entrepreneur's Take on Leadership, Social Media, and Self-Awareness. Gary and a team of marketers were preparing this week to go on a large promotional tour, and we pulled them aside for a sit-down at the posh and busy Core Club in Manhattan. Gary Vaynerchuk, thanks for talking with me.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited.
If you can distill the main message of the book down to like one tweet or Snapchat snap or a Facebook post, what would it be?
The current blueprint for entrepreneurs and executives in an ever-changing social digital landscape. And when I say blueprint, just so I get to expand on that, that was the tweet.
But yeah, that was good.
But the expansion of that is not only from, hey, this is what you should do on Snapchat or Pinterest, also from, this is how you're a good leader. This is why EQ matters, like self-awareness, empathy, gratitude, these other emotional intangibles.
You've been criticized in the past as a person who, yeah, it's true, as a person who convinces people of ways to behave online that are supposed to make them successful, but that your suggestions don't always carry a lot of substance. How do you address those kinds of critiques that you might be selling a form of snake oil?
you know, I think that if you look at all those headlines, they've been written by people that either had vested interest in using my name to get traffic to their website or people that had no idea who I actually was. I think that I'd like to remind those people that long before I was selling snake oil, I built a $65 million a year business. I was 34 years old when I came out to the world and started talking about business. On the flip side, let me say this, and this is on the record. I'm empathetic to people believing that. Like, I know that my energy is over the top. I know that people are listening right now and 10 or 15% of people are like, ah, he's too much. He thinks he's hot shock. And I know that most people that are snake oil salesmen look like me. So I'm just patient. I just think that I'm going to be proven to be historically correct on where this really nets out. Yeah. It's tough to be a snake oil salesman when you're not this is the confusion. I'm not asking for anything. Sure. There's no $29.99 membership.
You're selling a book.
Every 3 years, I ask for $19. I'm a real jerk.
Part of your message seems to be know when not to opt in to a new platform, a new service. You talk about knowing your strengths and playing to them. Can you give an example from your own life in the last year when you've done that or you've seen somebody do that really effectively?
Look, I think that people need to rejigger the conversation around social media. Social media is the slang term for the current state of the internet. YouTube, podcasting, Facebook, Snapchat. This is the world, not this print here, not that television.
He picked up a newspaper.
You know, like that's not the world anymore. There's still value there. It's overpriced. Ads are too expensive on those platforms. But I think it's time to mature up this conversation, guys. We live in a digital world. It's 2016.
Gary Vaynerchuk, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thanks for having me.
And Apple has been locked into paying a $450 million settlement to readers after the Supreme Court declined to hear Apple's appeal in a class action case alleging the company fixed ebook prices along with publishers years ago. Well, here's another piece of news made in Cupertino. New photos of the company's massive rotund headquarters surfaced online this week, including a shot of the roof to a theater for events that is 144 feet in diameter. It's like they're building a fleet of flying saucers. Unfortunately, none of them are likely to blast off and help Apple escape legal battles on Earth. We posted a link at facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.